I do enjoy listening to some good choral music, some, and I love pipe organs, dude. I'll go listen to like an old school pipe organ, somebody just slaying in a church. If that's church music, then I'm in, because that's what I want to hear. I want to hear somebody kicking ass on the
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like
organ.
that kind of traditional and hymnal type stuff, I can get down on.
Seriously, yeah, me too.
Like even in the 90s, like I could get down on like some OC Supertones. There are these like Christian hard rock bands in the 80s called Petra and Rose. And like Rose was pretty heavy as far as Christian music went.
Nice.
Yeah, like Southern gospel hymns, I can boogie with those.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll listen to Faith No More's Epic sometimes.
I would love to see that performed in a church service.
What is
Congregation, you see it. What is it?
What is it? I love it, man. I listen to that. And then somebody's just crunching the organ in the background.
Yeah. Bam, 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 bam.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't realize that they were apparently back together, at least based on the Hellfest lineup.
Oh, really? Hellfest. I think I
Yeah.
sent that to you. What a
Yeah.
ridiculous thing. I think I get a kick out of going to Hellfest, honestly.
Man, I don't know where it is, but someplace is in
Come.
for, oh, it's in France. They are in for a
I was gonna
treat.
say it's gotta be Europe, because they
Yeah.
wouldn't do that, a giant heavy metal festival in the United States. That ain't happening. But Europe,
Yeah.
hell yeah.
I was gonna guess like Germany or Austria or someplace, or someplace in like the Eastern Bloc that
I think Germany is a safe bet. I think they have, isn't there like the Wacken open air festival there
Oh,
too? Bunch of metal
yeah.
bands. That'd be sick. I read a story one time about two old guys who got themselves out of a long-term care facility, and the like 90-year-old dudes made it down to the Wacken open air heavy metal festival and just nailed it. That's awesome.
I wonder if it was intentional or if they were just like,
Yeah.
oh, this
Was
sounds,
that the
oh,
plan or yeah.
yeah, this
I
sounds
don't
like fun.
know.
When we first got to Vietnam, I need to look this up and see if I can find the bands because I meant to when it happened, but this is like the second day in Ho Chi Minh City. And we're like, I mean, like blocks and blocks away from Unification Palace, but there's like a kind of a park area near there. And there was just this metal music like blaring in the background for like hours on end. And they hosted some metal festival. And I, like to this day, I just wish I knew who was playing. Maybe I can find it, but I was just shocked. I was like, I assume I need a ticket, but I kind of want to see what's going down at the same time, but I also want to explore everything else. It
Is
was.
there a metal scene in Vietnam? Is there like a Vietnam metal scene? Like the heavy metal
No.
bands?
No. That kind of got me pumped because I was like, oh, there must be a metal scene here. Nah. They're like all about Vietnamese adult contemporary and then like pop music.
Gotcha.
In Indonesia. Has a pretty decent metal scene there.
I've heard that, yeah.
2024 episodes. We're gonna keep on podding. Welcome to Jay and Joey on the record. I'm Joey.
I'm Jay.
Jay, I think we're picking up some new listeners. Let those folks
Cool.
know what this podcast is all about.
So this started as an idea of Joey's, I believe, actually. We were talking about my record collection, and I kind of mentioned that I wanted to listen to them all, and he said, well, let's listen to them all and talk about them. So that's what we're trying to do in 1 year here, and we're making pretty good progress.
Yeah, we're dang near halfway there, and I mean, yeah, I'm honestly kind of amazed when I was looking at the episode number. I was like, "Holy crap, we are in June, and this baby is still rolling."
I can't remember how many five album episodes we did.
Yeah, I think
Because
we
so my
did.
math is never
Yeah.
exactly right when I try to think about it, because I can't remember how many of the five album episodes we did.
We start. I think we did 4 or 5 at least, and then we were like, "Uh-oh." We
Better tack a sixth one on there.
Yeah. Excellent. So today we've been trying to shake up the subjects. What are we dealing with today?
Everyone's favorite topic. We're going to be talking about religion today.
Yeah, we're just looking to start fights and offend everyone.
Really, why steer it up?
Why wait until Thanksgiving dinner? We can talk about it now.
Let's do it.
All right, man. You start us off. Where are we heading to? What's our promised land?
You got anything you want to say before we get jumping in here? No?
All right.
I mean, it's probably better if we just jump on into it. But
one thing that was kind of neat was just kind of see how the different faith based or religious or spiritual names had different sounds to them. A lot more diversity, I think, than I had originally thought going in.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I think in my collection, there are even more that we could have picked from that we maybe have already heard. So it is a diverse little set here.
Yeah.
Let's kick it off with some delightful glam hair metal. We're going to be talking about Angel and their fifth album, Sinful. Let's see, this bad boy came out. I didn't even put that in my notes. I apologize, Angel. That's my fault.
I think it was
January 1978.
79, yeah.
There you go. On Mercury.
Had you listened to much Angel before?
Not at all, actually. Not at all. So this is pretty new for me. This is actually, I got this album as a gift from a friend.
Oh, that's a pretty sweet gift. Was it like for a birthday or like, hey, you really need to listen to this and then you didn't give it back?
I actually think it was a Christmas present.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That
kind of a snow angel then.
Yeah. He just saw it in a coffee shop in Salina, Kansas and grabbed it for me.
The cover is pretty appealing.
That's what I was going to say. I think the cover grabbed him. It's a bunch of dudes. So are they airbrushed? Like what?
I think so.
They're like dressed in white and the cover's white. So it kind of fades into their outline of their clothes. And then, man. The guy in the middle looks like one of the French kings, but I can't remember which one. But there's
I know
one
exactly
that he looks
what you
like.
Mean. they have some sweet album covers, man. So I'm a little familiar with them from this one album, On Earth as It Is in Heaven. But then this other one called White Hot. Dude, the album cover for White Hot is insanely great. It leans in so hard to this whole aesthetic.
I mean, how hard? Is there a panther on it? Or what do we got on there? Oh, Lord. They're like...
like, teleport?
They're like shirtless and rising up out of the floor with like white light as their lower half of their body. Oh, my God.
It's like if the Star Trek teleportation thing was done by a glam metal band. And then behind him, there's this, like, Lord of the Rings elfin cathedral. It's a piece of work, man. I love it.
I want this. And not like just two because of them I like the way it looks, but I actually liked it this week. It was, or this album. It was pretty solid.
That's how I felt. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Let's talk about it then.
One thing I really liked when I first started doing a little research into it is that it's a tight 31 minutes long. And when you're listening to this many albums a week, sometimes it's nice to shave off a little bit of time. So thank you, Angel. That was delightful to see. So this is really my first listen to Angel. And the leadoff track did not hit me really strong. Mm-hmm. So I was a little skeptical on this one, but that's the synth right off the bat was putting me in a direction where I was like, oh no. But it does have a pretty good hook and some good harmony. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm in.
Yeah. The intro, man, it's big. It's like synthy horns almost.
Yeah.
And then you get this like spacey Boston meets Prague. And then it's kind of cheesy. Like I know, like
that's
I
the
I was
word I used.
Yeah. I was the same, and I was familiar with Angel, and I was like, oh man, did I give him a bum steer by telling him I liked Angel?
I will say they had me by the end with the I don't even want to sing it, but the don't take your love.
Yeah, man.
I was in. By that point, I was like, oh, okay, all right, I see what they're doing here.
Dude, that was...
You're right, they are leaning into it pretty hard. I think they know what they're all about.
That was kind of the moment where I was like, whew, okay, maybe this is going to be all right.
In the next couple, you got anything that really jumped out to you?
Yeah, there was one part in L.A. Lady. So it's a little bluesy swagger kind of like glampy piano. But then there's a part where he just yells, "Fingers, Fred!" And there's like a piano solo. And I was like, ooh, what a way to introduce a piano solo.
I didn't hear that. So I'm glad you picked that out, because that is a sick way to introduce piano solo.
That's how I'm going to start introducing the podcast.
Fingers, Fred.
Voices, Jay.
That was pretty solid. There's some cool little hand claps in there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't Buy Love. I was in. I really dug that track.
Yeah. It's kind of like Cheap Tricky at times.
It's funny you say Cheap Trick, because I actually thought of a different band. I thought it was kind of Sweet like at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with the Cheap Trick assessment, too. I mean, it was really solid. Kind of cheesy lyrically, but musically, I was definitely buying in at this point.
For sure. And then Bad Time.
I like Bad Time.
I was just like, this is the antithesis of a bad time.
Dude, that is literally... where is it? I was having a good time listening to Having a Bad Time was my note. So
nice.
Hell yeah. I dug that one, man. It's a good little beat. It was rocking a little harder than the other ones on the thing, but pretty groovy. Good groove in the rhythm section, and it shreds.
It really does. And the lyrics, like, definitely dude was talking about having a bad time, and I was like, hope you got through it, bro, because it sounds pretty good to me.
It was solid.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there was, like, if I remember right, there was like a guitar solo, and then they just slam you with the synth right after it.
Yeah, dude. It was cool, very unexpected.
Let's see. I'll Bring the Whole World to Your Door. At this point, my first note is, well, shit, maybe I really actually like this whole album. I like Angel. Like, I was in at that point.
That song title, man. It was so outlandish, and I was like, this is so perfect. Yeah, I'm a sucker for this shit. I can't help it, man. I love the glam.
I'm telling you, I enjoyed this a lot more than I thought I would. Don't judge a book by its cover. And I'm sorry, yeah. Angel. I shouldn't have judged you by the album cover, because I was digging it. I don't have much to say about the last three tracks here. If you have one that you want to talk about, go right ahead.
The only one that really just like jumped out at me in these last three was Wild and Hot. Mm-hmm. It's just like, holy shit, man, I love this. This was more Cheap Trick than the last one I mentioned, because he even says like Mommy and Daddy.
Mm-hmm. That was another one that had a pretty good hook. Like, they're yes. good at putting together the hooks, for sure.
It's a summer jam. I was close to calling it my song of the week, but I held off.
Wild and Hot, song of the summer, 2021. I think we can make it happen.
Let's get the kids requesting it. Yeah. Yeah, you got any final thoughts?
I just kind of touched on it. It's better than I thought it would be. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't have judged it by the cover. It did not get good reviews. So
I could not believe it. Yeah.
Fuck the critics. They got 2.5 stars on most places.
Yeah, it
made better than that.
I absolutely agree. Like, did I love it? No. Did I enjoy it? Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, same. Definitely.
There are a couple stink bombs, I think, but overall, like, it hit me right.
Alrighty. Next up on our religious journey here, we're going to talk about the only album by the British supergroup Blind Faith. This is a self-titled album, the only one they put out. Came out in 1969 on Polydor Records in the UK and Atlantic in the United States.
So, do you own the Pervert cover of this album or the other one?
Thank God I do not. I have the non-pervert version.
Okay. Okay, so...
Yeah, tell us about the Pervert version.
So, the Pervert version, this photographer had... God knows what his artistic vision was, but he... has a photo of a topless 9-year-old. I think she was 9. She may have been a little older.
She's 11.
11, yeah. Yeah, so a topless 11-year-old just kind of like deadly staring into the camera. And I don't know what message she was trying to. Apparently the model these days is okay with it. And she's like, it's so incredible when people come up to me now and are like, were you the naked girl Blind Faith cover? And I don't know. It still makes me queasy. And I don't know. It's unsettling to me. I think it's fucking creepy. And I don't care if it's art. I think it's gross. But
yeah, I'm not even going to talk about, because there is an explanation for what his thought process was for that, but we can just leave it at what it is.
Oh, I mean, okay.
People want to look it up, they can, but
yeah.
Yeah. So I have the non-pervert version, which it is just the band kind of hanging out in front of a window.
Chilling. Yeah. Much more preferable.
So Blind Faith contains 2/3 of Cream. We've got Ginger Baker and Eric Clapton. And then you've got Steve Winwood from Spencer Davis Group and Traffic. And then another fella named Rick Gretsch from Family. So that's Blind Faith.
Were you familiar with this band before, I'm assuming? Because I was familiar with them, but I had never heard this. Had you listened to this?
I had probably listened to this. I can't say for certain. I'd heard many of the songs off of this. Yeah. I will say that. But had I ever sat down and actually listened to it beginning to end, I don't think so.
I was kind of surprised by how much Steve Winwood is featured as a writer. I wasn't expecting it. Like, one, he's a surprise Brit, which always shocks me.
I think he was like a musical prodigy growing up. Like, I think that's, he was really, really amazing. Young in the Spencer Davis Group, if I remember right. Like, super young.
That's crazy.
If I remember correctly.
Man, that is, what an interesting backstory.
I'm not telling lies, but.
He had to be, because.
14. He was 14 when he joined the Spencer Davis Group.
That is nuts.
So, yeah, a little prodigy in there.
Jesus.
How familiar? I mean, you said you've heard of them, but did you know any of the tunes off of this thing?
I didn't know anything. Like, I had known of, like, the band's history, who was in the band, and that's it. I had never actually taken the time to listen to them.
So what was your first impression then with the first track here, Had to Cry Today?
Dude, that opening bass line is nasty.
Yes, it is. I love that little riff. It's pretty sick. Absolutely, I agree.
It finds its space. It locks in. It's kind of repeated throughout the song, and it reminds me of that DJ Shadows Nobody Speak song, which features Run the Jewels. Like, it's in some car commercial. It just has, like, a very similar, like, note structure to it. Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, meanwhile, that riff you're talking about, you've just got Eric Clapton just kind of soloing over the top of it, shredding away. It was pretty sick, man. Nice and heavy, like a little bit heavier than I expected. And then they just repeated the absolute shit out of it. But
yeah, it might be my song of the week.
Really? Hell yeah. I love it. Unexpected, but I love it.
I definitely wasn't expecting it. And I just, man, I locked in. I was like, holy crap, this is.
I'm loving it. So track two then I was familiar with before listening to this, Can't Find My Way Home. This is Steve Winwood. He wrote this one. What'd you think of that one?
I feel like later era Fleetwood Mac heard this and were like, we should do something like this.
And did you like late era Fleetwood Mac or no?
Well, so I like this a lot more than later era Fleetwood
Mac.
Okay.
I mean, I could see that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, kind of an acoustic. Some interesting acoustic picking and some interesting percussion. I did like one of the lyrics, and I'm wasted and I can't find my way home. Like, it's kind of funny. Kind of a funny lyric. I mean,
very personal.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Ginger Baker's drumming was really good. It felt almost improvisational.
It's very interesting. Yeah. I have that note in a few of these songs. He just has some very interesting drumming. Let's see. So number three is Well, All Right. That's a cover of a Buddy Holly tune, and I was enjoying the hell out of it. It was another one that I liked the percussion. It was fun percussion. And then the piano and guitar duet solo was pretty good. Another, a good one for this week, Presence of the Lord is the fourth track on side A here. What'd you think of that one? Anything?
It was like a soul ballad mixed with that song, As I Lay Me Down to Sleep. It was like the music of those two, just like a real tender tune. But then those last 2 minutes, man, they get hit with something and jam.
It gets cooking. Yeah, it's like a, I thought it was going to be a slow jam. I was like, okay, this isn't bad. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, once that guitar solo hits, they turn it into a rip-roaring ride. It was fun.
Yeah.
Then in side A, side B kicks off with Sea of Joy. Didn't have much to say about that myself. Yeah, there's a little violin in there, but that's about it.
Yep.
Track six, and the last one on here, Do What You Like, is a 15-minute long extended jam. What'd you think of that bad boy?
I was surprised how it just like came hot out of the gate, given that it's 15 minutes. I was like, ooh, they're not. Fellas, this is a marathon, not a sprint. Yeah, I was digging it, man. How about you?
I think it's a really good name for a song where everyone's just kind of trading off jamming, like Do What You Like.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're just kind of just taking turns, just like doing whatever they want. Everyone in the room gets to shred it a little bit. Pretty solid, man. I had fun.
Yeah, when the drums take over around like the 9 minute mark, it just felt very free and loose and jazzy. Like, it got a little manic. Someone was screaming, Do What You Like.
Yes.
And I couldn't look away.
I wish I was talented enough to just hang out with a bunch of dudes and just jam on a riff. You know, I don't know that I ever will be, but just to sit there and just do it is pretty sick. Do you have any final thoughts on this album in particular?
I just can't believe it's taking me this long to hear this. How about you?
It was great. I mean, I've heard some of it before, but for example, Do What You Like, I'd never heard, and very, very enjoyable. I had a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm with you.
Number three this week, we're going to be talking about Bad Company's fifth studio album, Desolation Angels. Let's see here. Desolation Angels came out March 17, 1979 on Swan Song. What'd you think of this thing?
First off, again, I had no idea they were British. Secondly, I can't believe...
Secret Brits.
Yeah, Secret Brits, man. I'm telling you, they're everywhere. Watch out. I didn't know they were on Swan Song. So, like, to be on Robert Plant's label or Led Zeppelin's label, whoever ran it.
I'm telling you, man, their first, I promise, their first album is fantastic.
This is really bad company.
This was not. I'm with you, dude. I'm telling you, I love their first album. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard their first album. So I was expecting something like, maybe not exactly the same, but something.
I was hoping for something like that, but this
connected,
was,
yeah.
Not a fan myself. And, well, we'll talk about this very briefly, but I probably don't have a whole heck of a lot to say. And
yeah, same.
I guess what my sentiment would be for the whole album, let me just kick it off by saying it. I don't think it was bad. It was just so generic that it didn't do anything for me at all. Like, I don't think it was bad. And I'm sure at the time there were people that were super into this. There may still be people that are super into this, but it just felt so blah to me.
Dude, it's funny you say that because I'm looking through my notes and I see basic, standard, flavorless, bland, basic again. And I don't know, it felt like after the first track they just kind of gave up, because the lead track's not bad.
No, it's not, and it's probably the one people are gonna know, Rock and Roll Fantasy, as the lead single on the album. And it's solid, pretty cool guitar intro, pretty good beat throughout. Paul Roach's voice is solid, but moving into the rest of this thing, I don't know, I couldn't get fired up about it. Rock and Roll Fantasy, solid.
As Newfound Glory says, all downhill from there. But Crazy Circles, they had this line that I really, or this, these couple lines that I really, really liked. I will remember, face the sun, leaving shadows far behind, and together we'll go on through time. Like, yeah, I like that.
I remember liking some of the lyrics on that one, too. I can't remember which ones. I should have written them down, but I also remember liking some of the lyrics on that one. Kind of an acoustic, cool little acoustic solo in there, too. But another one that I felt like it just kind of didn't really go anywhere.
It felt like just by the numbers. Early in the morning, I actually wrote down what the hell is going on. Because
that was a weird one. Yeah, it was like an ominous sounding ballad somehow. Yeah. But like super cheesy.
Yeah, how about you? Anything?
I mean, not really on any of them, but... So, like we just said early in the morning, there's one point where Paul Rogers' voice really shines in that one. It's very brief, but there is a minute where I'm like, okay, this dude can really crush it on the vocals. But that's it for side A. Side B, any of these things stand out to you at all? So the first one I have, generic 70s pop. Number, that's Lonely for Your Love. Let's see, Oh Atlanta. There was a little harmonica in there, but that was really it on that one.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. Oh, Atlanta. Yeah. It was a fun number to do some boot scooting. Rhythm Machine was like a little funkier. The drum fill and him saying boom, boom, cracked me up.
It did have a funky little bass line in there, but yeah, I didn't like the song at all. That's all. I mean, I really don't have anything else to say. I mean, it's just kind of...
Yeah.
I don't have any fun facts about the album. Even if it's a boring album, sometimes there's some... cool, interesting facts about it, but really couldn't find much of anything, so
yeah,
just kind of generic.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It felt like purgatory. All right, let's put this in the past. What's next?
The next one we've got is a band I've seen in concert. We're going to be talking about Demons.
Sweet.
This album is Embrace Wolf, and if I remember correctly, it came out... And this was a super tough album to find any information on at all, by the way.
Yeah.
2019, I believe. Sorry. Oh, nope. 2017 on Spartan Records.
Yeah.
Aha, I found it.
Dude, tell me about Demons. I don't know anything about these fellas. Who'd you see them with?
They opened for Red Fang at the Riot Room in Kansas City. And they were a lot of fun live. A lot of fun. In fact, I bought their album, so...
Yeah.
I wasn't there to see them at all. I was there to see Red Fang, but they kicked some ass. It was fun.
How do you feel revisiting them after seeing them live and hearing it on album?
Maybe better live, but a lot of things are.
Sure, yeah.
But I had a good time.
What yeah, man, think? I enjoyed the hell out of this. No, I didn't know anything about them.
Apparently, the guitarist is Zach Gehrig, who is in the band May, M-A-E, which I don't know much about May either.
Okay, no, yeah, I don't either.
So there you go. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it here. First of all, my album is clear. The actual vinyl is clear with like purple and white flecks of paint in it, so it's really sick.
It's such a cool looking album.
And this was the one. So when I mentioned I went to the merch table while I went to the bathroom, saw the merch guy in there, and then bought an album. This is it. This is the one.
Nice.
Yeah.
He just like slides it under the stall.
Yep. And it's funny because Demons was playing when I bought this. So I left them playing to go buy their album. So
pretty cool. I got to get this damn thing now.
Give me it. No, they were the opening act. So there was like a lot fewer people. It was easy to get in and out. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Obviously, so
yeah, post show lines at merch tables are the worst.
Absolutely the worst. So let's kick it out here. Track one in parentheses, Telebrothy. That's all it really says. So setting the tone early here.
Sure. Yeah, noisy post rock, kind of post hardcore warm up. I was in. Like this is something, a sound that I really am drawn to. So I was there. I was ready.
I like it. I do like it when your opening song really sets the tone, like some big pounding, building instrumental sounds to really set the tone for the rest of the album. Track two, Always Your Own. Definitely, as soon as this came on, I remembered them playing this live.
Oh, it was nice. Yeah, it's kind of funky. It's a little experimental. They grooved on that bass hard.
Chug. Got some heavy chugging riffs. Like, I was really banging my head to this one. Almost like, and I know you're not a big fan, but it kind of had a Queens of the Stone Age vibe to it to me. A little bit.
I kind of thought that too. Like a little Queens of the Stone Age meets Baroness. like later Baroness almost. Yeah.
But I loved how that one went out. Really nice. Got me bouncing for sure. The one thing I liked about this album is they do change it up a lot. Like the songs have a lot of cool changes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see live. Track 5 is Nobody Loves You the Way You Are. More of a hardcore that goes super hard.
Yeah.
Absolute slammer of a track.
Man, that intro had me amped with those drums.
Yes.
Like I was ready to open the pit. Really nice breakdown, some hard-hitting moments, quality screaming. That was one of the top tracks on this album for me.
Yeah, me too. And that's another one I remember seeing him play in person, and dude really does blast those screams out. It's pretty cool. Track 6, probably my favorite name of any song this week. I really liked it. Decibel Farmer. Love it. Absolutely loved it. Interesting song, though. Totally different from a lot of the other stuff.
It is a really cool name. It's one of those things that makes me think, are they harvesting decibels? What in the world is going on with this?
I loved it. I don't even care what it means. I just like, this is such a sick name for a song.
Yeah.
But it's got almost like a surf rock drum intro. It's kind of more of a ripper than the rest of
them. Yeah.
Anything else on the way out here on any of these last three?
17.9, yeah, it had some really gnarly time signatures and changes going on. Like, they're really good with those transitions and effects, I feel like, just kind of smoothing out the edges.
I'm with you too. They're good at keeping you on your toes, that's what I would say. I mean, there's a lot of cool, nice transitions, changes in time signature. It's cool. On the whole, what'd you think of Demons?
So I didn't write a ton on this, but I did really enjoy it. Like, it just hit all the right notes of this genre that I like. I used to be really, really adamant about this scene. And it felt good, dude.
Same. I didn't have a ton to say about it, but I had a good time listening to it. It definitely was a satisfying revisit to something I had seen in person.
Nice.
That was nice. I'd go see him again, is what I would say.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all.
Let's see, we're rolling right along this week. We got number...
Dude, we're smoking.
5. Holy cow, heck yeah. Got number 5 is Led Zeppelin, Houses of the Holy. This is actually Led Zeppelin's 5th studio album. It came out March 28, 1973 on Atlantic. We've done a few Led Zeppelins now. Is this our second or third?
This is our third. Yeah, because we did... The Untitled, and then we did 3? Yeah.
Yep. So this is after those two.
It's such a different sound.
So one of the things I read on that actually is, and I didn't, dang it, two of them, I didn't get the names, two of them installed studios in their own homes so they could develop more sophisticated songs. So that kind of influenced what they were doing. I wish I had written down which two that was, but...
I get the sophistication. Back when I was into Led Zeppelin a lot, this is probably my favorite album of theirs. This or Physical Graffiti. But
yeah, me too, actually. I really dig this.
Yeah.
Dug this album. I still do, actually. But let's see. So how was the last time you'd listened to it then?
Probably 11th or 12th grade. So it's been a solid 19, 20 years.
Hey, here's a fun fact for you. The cover of this bad boy, this is a Hypnosis cover.
We talked
about Hypnosis earlier.
That's wild.
It's based on a photograph taken at Giant's Causeway in Northern Ireland. It's got big old, I don't know if they're natural formations of rocks or if it's metal, but big old rocks with like cherubic figures crawling around on them. Jumping back into this for the first time since 11th grade, what are your thoughts on Song Remains the Same here, track 1?
It's just a nice steady train rolling in. There's kind of like that sudden slowdown, woozy vocals that are just very captivating. Some of the vocals, like rehearing it, I'm like, this is kind of pitchy, but it's also masterful at the same time.
It's funny you mention that because I kind of had the opposite feeling here. Mm. So I love, like you mentioned, the bass line, the rhythm section. Jimmy Page's guitar is absolutely phenomenal. The little section you're talking about where it kind of slowed down,
Yeah.
I did pick up the pitchy vocals and I didn't like him that much. I was just kind of like, ah, man, I think that Robert Plant is my least favorite part of the song, but the rest of it,
Yeah.
I'm really digging.
It was very pitchy at times. And I don't know if that was intentional or somebody just didn't catch it, but I mean, you've got this like masterful composition going on behind it, and then yeah, just like a bad American Idol audition.
But on the whole, that thing cooks. I really like that song. It actually, it's funny, we both, I just remembered this. It's funny that we both not necessarily had had issue with. I mean, you liked it. But it's funny we both picked out that vocal section because this
Yeah.
song was originally intended to be an instrumental. So they
Oh,
actually tossed those
really?
vocals in there. Yeah.
Oh, man. Bad call, guys.
So that's interesting. And it was intended just to lead right into Rain Song. So track two
Oh, okay,
is The
okay.
Rain Song, which is a 7 minute long kind of ballad. That, what'd you think of that one?
So you saying that Song Remains the Same was supposed to lean into this makes a lot of sense because it's still kind of trippy, kind of hazy. It has some real gorgeous strings, and then it changes later on. It's like boom, the pianos come in, but you can really hear those two are very musically related.
It does feel pretty, there's a like a real triumphant feeling part where the drums just kind of come pounding on in. Yeah, I mean it's all right. I'm not a big ballad guy, but it was cool. They had the mellotron on that one, the weird little mellotron sounds. That's how I have always felt about that song. It's all right. It's not bad. Let's see, track three, Over the Hills and Far Away. I've always enjoyed this one. I really like Jimmy Page on the 6 and 12 string acoustic guitars playing that little intro ditty with himself. That's just super cool.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I adored this song so much back in the day. And just that shift from that, like,
Yes.
do many times I loved and
Dun
many
dun
times
dun dun.
and did it.
Yes. Hell
Yeah,
yeah.
I really, it's just so clean.
It
It's
is, man.
hard, but man, yeah.
With
Yeah.
the transition from acoustic to electric, just
Yeah.
super fun. And then it's such a good dynamic between everyone on this song. I mean, I just felt like everything really fit well together. It was awesome. I love that song. I always have. And then that one's got the really pretty coda at the end of it. That weird, almost, was it strings?
And
Track
nothing
four.
to know. Yep.
Track
Oh.
four is The Crunge.
Says.
What?
That's a
What's the
good
crunch?
reaction. Yeah. I have no idea what the hell that's what it even means.
But I did dig the bass riff. It's kind of funky and heavy. It sounded like old Jane's Addiction for a little bit, and I was not much of a fan of it, to be honest with you.
I feel you, man. I said this one always annoyed me. Always. Like, I hate that loop. I don't know what the crunch is. It feels like something that should have been on like two or three that just like leave it in the past.
Roll on into side B then, because we didn't like the crunch. Neither of us did. Side B kicks off with Dancing Days. I like this one. Pretty good beat, good chorus, cool guitar tricks. How do you feel about the Stone Temple Pilots version of this song? Let's start. I'm gonna ask that question right off the bat. Do you like it? The acoustic version? Have you heard it?
I have, yeah. Funny, a friend from high school tagged me in a video of it a few months ago, and I was like, okay, I haven't really listened to SCP in a while, but cool.
Cool, man. Thanks.
I like it. Like, I think Scott Weiland's a really good singer. For me, theirs is a little too trippy, but I don't
Yeah.
know.
The only reason I ask is because I've seen him play it. It was okay.
It definitely
But Led
feels
Zeppelin's
like,
version.
yeah, it feels like a flex when they played it. It's like, I get it. You can play Zeppelin.
So what'd you think of the Zeppelin's version of their own song here, Dancing Days?
Yeah.
Sorry to take it down that Stone Temple Pilots track, but I just remember
I
it. I think it actually hit pretty big for them when they did it, if I remember
Yeah,
right.
it did, and I had completely forgotten about it, man. It's definitely one that's like in my ear and out the other one type of. I know some people just
Sure.
go gaga about it, but this one, it pulled me right in. Like, it's kind of trippy, kind of psychedelic. It definitely sounds
Yeah.
better electric, in my opinion.
Jimmy Page does some really cool stuff on the guitar. That's what I would say. He's just a really interesting guitar player to me. Jamaica, And I think that's how I'm going to pronounce it, because you know where they got the name for this song? You know where it came from?
No.
So the title is a play on the word Jamaica when spoken
Okay.
with a heavy English accent. So, Jamaica.
It. Nice.
So apparently that's where they got it from. And it's easy to understand why. It does kind of have, it's basically a Led Zeppelin reggae song. So what do you think of this one?
I should hate it, but I don't.
Same, man. I actually really like this one. And one interesting thing I picked out on it. So Led Zeppelin's drummer is John Bonham, and he has such a distinct sound to his drums that even on a song like this that is totally different than Song Remains the Same, for example, you can still tell it's John Bonham on the drums because his drums have such a distinct sound, and I absolutely love it.
I love just that feel with the do do ba do 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 bow bow bow, and he just
He's got some absolutely sick drum fills on this whole album, actually.
yeah.
But on this song in particular, I'm with it, man. You're feeling it, man. Yeah, this song got absolutely wrecked by Rolling Stone, by the way.
Really?
They absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
So Gordon Fletcher of the Rolling Stone, contemporaneously, easily one of the worst things the band has ever attempted, he wrote.
Wow.
A pathetic stab at reggae that would probably get Led Zeppelin laughed off the island if they bothered playing it in Jamaica.
Wow. Gordy,
Yeah.
buddy.
Yeah, he didn't like
What
it, but
did Led Zeppelin do to you?
I was quite a fan. Speaking of, oh, that was these last three tracks actually on this album were all Song of the Week contenders. So that's number six. Track seven is No Quarter. I absolutely adore this song.
It's a fantastic track. Yeah, it's really mellow getting off the ground, but when
It's
it
so
does,
ominous.
yeah,
Yeah, it's heavy and ominous. It's fantastic.
it's kind of prog.
It is. Absolutely, it is. I mean, it's also thunderous. Like the bass and the drums are so just massive. He's got that synthesized bass sound, and then Jimmy Page's guitar's got a lot more fuzz on it. It is prog. It's heavy. It's harder.
Yeah, the structure of it is
It's
so
long.
interesting. Yeah,
Yeah.
don't get me wrong, Untitled is a strong album, but it's like they just matured so much in that short time span. And I feel like it really plays off here, or it pays off here.
It's fantastic, man. It's got the things I like. I'll just say that. The drums are awesome. The bass is awesome. It's got some weird sections, and I always love weird. I love the solo after the really quiet section. I mean, the keys are cool. There's even some keys in this one. This is my song of the week, dude. I love No Quarter.
Nice. Yeah, that's a great pick. I wish that they had flipped this with the ocean, 'cause I think No Quarter is a much better closing track.
So, tell me about the ocean.
I didn't have too much on it. I think it's a good song, like it's very alluring. It just shouldn't be that number eight.
I'm telling you, it's also one of my favorite Led Zeppelin tracks. I've always liked the ocean. I just feel like and I didn't mind it as a closer because I like that they're going to kind of smash their way on out of here.
Yeah.
It's just, it's sick,
Now,
man.
now, 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 now,
Yes, and this one is the
it's an
one.
earworm.
Absolutely. And this is the one where the drum fills. There's a sweet guitar riff drum fill trade-off thing that happens at one
Oh,
point that is
yeah.
absolutely fantastic. And then when it comes slamming back in after the la 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 la,
Yeah.
boom, the drums come just mashing back in. I love it. This was another one that was a strong contender for Song of the Week. I mean, I love the ocean.
This B-side is not playing.
No, absolutely not. Fantastic. I mean, it's funny. I always just like to glance at the Wikipedia page for each of the albums just to get a feel for them before I start really looking at other stuff. And every single song on this album has its own Wikipedia page. So that'll tell you something about
Jesus.
the album. Even the crunch. All right,
If
let's finish it
final
up,
thoughts,
brother.
man.
I loved it. I was happy to revisit it for sure. I had a good time.
Absolutely, yeah, I dug it. Didn't make me love Led Zeppelin again, but it made me dig and appreciate them a lot more. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Like, it kind of clicked that I really enjoyed some of the later stuff, like this and Physical Graffiti, like I said. And that's why I was so into them years ago. All right, last but not least.
Here we go. Number six this week. We are going to be talking about Sleep and Sleep's album, Sleep's Holy Mountain, also known as Holy Mountain. It is Sleep's second studio album. It was released in November 1992 in Europe and March 1993 in the United States on Earache Records. So apparently they sent a demo to Earache Records, and Earache signed them as soon as they heard it, and they immediately released this with out doing anything to it. They're just like, all right, let's put it out.
Oh my God.
There. So Sleep came hard with the second album here. The label immediately signed the band and released the recordings as exactly as they were received. So no, they didn't do anything to it. They're just like, here you go.
That's fucking nuts.
That's awesome. I love it.
Your second album and the label's just like, it takes it in one hand, passes it right along to the pressing plant. That's freaking cool.
It is.
Was this a reissue that you bought or an original? Because 1992, we're not really dealing with vinyl territory anymore.
This might be one of the, it's funny, this might be one of the only ones that I've never looked up the actual number. Because so in all of the, all records, there's going to be some numbers and shit printed in the runout, which is what happens after the needle gets to the end of the album. Yeah. So you can see which pressing you have by looking at that. And this is one of the only ones I've not actually looked at. So I'm sure it's, I think it's a repress, but I don't know for sure. It was expensive. I bought it at Sisters of Sound in Manhattan, Kansas.
Oh,
dude, this is the one that I mentioned that I went in there for probably years, and it was always in there. And one time I went in there, I was really? Like, you know what? I'm tired of seeing this album sitting there. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm buying it. So I did. I think I paid like $25-$30 for it. So
man, what a
maybe,
grab.
Maybe it is original. It's cool. I know how you could tell. It's purple. So the album itself is a deep, dark maroon purple. The vinyl itself.
Okay. That was a quality pickup. Found you a nice new home. Sleep.
It's got a sticker on it with a bunch of pot leaves on it. So Sleep is like this original seminal stoner rock band or stoner metal band to me.
Okay.
I mean, you could say Black Sabbath is, but
as far as like the modern movement, absolutely, yes, dude. I'm with you. It
and Caius, both of those two.
Yeah, dude. It's a landmark album. And what's pretty crazy is that I think there was like a repress or like demos or something that was put out a little later, but this was really like their last big album until, or their last album
Sciences
period until Sciences in like 2018 or something,
which is also a pretty sick album,
dude. It's great. Yeah.
Let's jump on in here. So how familiar are you with Sleep?
You know, I knew some of these earlier tunes a little bit. I'm much more, like, I've listened to Sciences a lot more than I've listened to anything else earlier, though.
That was such a cool way they released that, too. At midnight on Record Store Day, they were just like, oh, by the way, we are putting out an album. Yeah. That nobody even knew that they had it. They put out an album. They hadn't put anything out for, I don't know how long, decades. Awesome. All right, so track one here is Dragonaut. It's immediately like, here you go. This is the blueprint for stoner metal. Here you go. This is what it's going to be. It's got that riff, this repetitive, plodding riff. I love it.
It's sludgy. Like that rhythm section is just a juggernaut running through a gauntlet.
Absolutely. So Sleep is just three guys, too. It's just we got a drummer, a bassist, and a guitarist. And they put out a shitload of noise between the three of them.
Yeah.
It's fun. Track two, The Druid. What say you about The Druid?
It's chugging. It's aggressive. It has that kind of groovy fill in the middle that then goes into a shred. Like, I was on this train very hard.
I was too. I love, it's a huge riff driven track. It's got some lyrics that are like basically shouted at you that I loved. Here it is. Far within the oaken tower exists the one with evil power. Magic channeler of Earth's frustration, the druid sleeps in meditation. Those are the only lyrics in this song, and they happen within the first minute of a 5-minute long song. That's hilarious to me.
I didn't think about that, but dude shows up. Lyrics. Yeah,
and then this we're is just what gonna we got. Metal jam on the way out, and it just freaking riffs and pounds its way out of here.
Yeah, really brilliant.
Track 3, Evil Gypsy / Solomon's Thing.
Really enjoyed how guttural and garbled some of the lyrics are. I can't describe it, but there's a breakdown with drums and just this real monstrous guitar around the 2.5 minute mark. It just had me headbanging.
Nasty, heavy breakdown is what I wrote, and I didn't have much else on it because couldn't describe it either, but it was just nasty.
Nasty is good. It works.
It's just a lot of shredding on the guitar, a lot of noise, and then they're another one. I know I talked about demons kind of changing the pace a lot. They're another band that's just like changing the pace on you a ton. Like there's just a big ass monster drum section with a super heavy riff in this thing that just comes out of nowhere. This is like something the guy chained to the front of the truck in the Mad Max movie would play. That's what it is.
That's probably the best description for this. Yeah.
Side B kicks off with the title track, Holy Mountain. Another one that's just absolutely ridiculous. Like, it's got the big droning guitars. It almost feels like an instrumental version of throat singing. Have you ever heard like throat singers from like Mongolia?
Oh, yeah.
It's like an instrumental version of that to me.
Yeah.
Just like, like, just that, just monstrous. But I'm hooked on the lyrics, man. I mean, I believe the signs of the reptile master, sunbound space pod rising faster, earth drenched in black under starless skies above, man on the mountain sets free the holy dove. I don't even know what that means, but I love the weirdo lyrics. It's just 8 minutes of that and just pounding thunderous riffs. It's a good time.
This is where I really wrote down about those moments and transitions and tempo changes that just keeps you on your toes, keeps you guessing.
Absolutely. Track 8, From Beyond. They took a little bit of time to build the riff on that one.
But, dude, it crawls at you and then it jumps on your face and sucks your brain.
It's like 4 minutes of this slow pounding riff, and then it's a herd of beasts when it comes in. It's pretty crazy. Another one with lyrics too. A phantasmal specter of two worlds collide, planetoid soaked in rays of electric light. Stoner caravan from deep space arrives, rides on suncraft toward the glowing eye. That really paints a picture there for you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have lyrics like that, it better be a freaking epic tune. And it was. It didn't feel like 10 minutes to me. I hate when people call things dystopian, but it was. I mean, again, Mad Max. Like, that's a good way of putting it. Like, it's that world. It's that universe.
What'd you think of Sleep?
You know, overall, again, this was one where I didn't have a ton to say about it, but I really liked it.
Yeah, I had a good time listening to Sleep. It was the last one I listened to this week, and it was a good one to end on.
How about overall for the week? Any final thoughts?
I thought it was a fun little variety other than the Bad Company, which, again, I will say, I'm not going to say it was terrible. I just didn't really get anything out of it. But on the whole, I had a good time.
I feel you, man. It tickled my ear in all kinds of different ways. So with that said, didn't see that coming. You got a question or?
Shoot first this week. Hit me with what you got.
Angels got me thinking about Angels in the Outfield and how the 90s were just absolutely flush with sports movies for preteens. Like, just an embarrassment of riches from that time period. So you know what? Let's bring him back. Jay, what sports movie for preteens are you writing and who's on the soundtrack?
Let's see. I don't even really watch that much baseball anymore, but I feel like I gotta bring back Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
But it's just a ridiculous show about a guy who breaks his arm and becomes a Major League Baseball pitcher at the age of 12 or whatever.
With that like weird bionic arm somehow.
Mm-hmm. It's got the tendons in there too tight. Something. So I'm bringing back Rookie of the Year. And let's see. I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of who would be a good soundtrack band here. We're gonna be super. No. I was gonna be super inspirational and pick like Explosions in the Sky or something.
Ooh. I mean, a lot of these like redos
I need a little more
or
fun, though. I
remakes.
need something zany. But I mean, if we're gonna be more serious, let's go with that.
Yeah, I mean, I can see Explosions in the Sky playing in like the bottom of the ninth,
Sure, yeah,
sending
exactly.
things home, and be a good way to introduce a lot of people to bands like that.
They've done a lot of soundtracks too. I mean, I think they did the
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights soundtrack.
All right, what you got for me?
You are required to formulate a new religion based on one of the song titles or band names or album names that we listen to this week. What's your new religion? Which song is going to be the foundation for your new religion?
I think I'm gonna start. So I have two thoughts. The first one, if it's just like some like a fun, like good time, I'm going straight in with Angel and maybe like LA Lady. So the religion could have like a catchphrase, so like I could yell something and the congregation would do it.
I like
So
it.
like they yelled Fingers Fred. I could yell like I don't know, hands worshippers or something like that, and they would do something with their hands.
I like it.
I feel like if I wanted to make a lot of money off of this hustle, I would do something from like Jamaica, you know? Like a lot of people like to buy into that pseudo faux hippie sound.
I think that's fair.
I think I could get a following with that. Yeah. How about
Oh
you?
yeah, it's catchy too. Jamaica's catchy.
Yeah, you got any thoughts?
The crunch.
Just because anyone who would follow that is someone you would, yeah, wouldn't want to be around, or someone that make easy money off of.
No, I don't know. I would say let's go with demons. Nobody loves you the way you are.
Oh,
Get yourself fixed. Fix it up.
yeah.
Figure it out. Nobody loves you the way you are.
Nobody
Fix
loves you the
yourself.
way you are. You know where you can get fixed? Right here.
Yep. I
Yeah.
think that's pretty much the foundation for
That dude, yeah.
to edit that out. Don't get me
I
attacks.
think.
Don't. I don't want to get emails.
All right, let's take it home. Did this episode make you a believer in what we're doing? Well, show your faith by subscribing, giving us a 5-star rating, viewing us, telling others about us. We have a very special, unique episode next week that you're gonna want to hear for sure. It's gonna change up the dynamic a little bit. It's gonna be fun.
On a very special Jay and Joey.
Yeah, it's about how one of us gotten
What's this gonna be? All
no,
right,
yeah.
what do you
I
got?
don't know where that's going. Yeah, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Jay and Joey Pod. We have a Buy Me a Coffee. You can find those things. Our Spotify playlist through the link tree in the show notes. You just open those show notes in the app, and those babies are right there. As always, be good to each other.
Don't get hooked on caffeine pills like what's her
Jesse
face from
Spano.
episode. Yes, that's our very special episode. I'm so excited.
Then, yeah,
I'm
I
so
am so
scared.
scared.